Jerry's at it again, and this is the news, according to me. Well, this may end up being a special edition of the... this is probably going to be the evening show. I hate doing this to you, but I'm recording this actually on Monday morning. It's 11:22, Monday morning at March 1st, very first day of March, third month of the year. Here we go. We're almost a third of the way done. It's almost tax time. So, just thought I'd cheer you up with that little known fact. Maybe it is, I guess it's not little known, it's probably well known. I don't know. Are they going to change that again this year? Are they going to give us an extension? I found out last year that they gave us this extension, but then it wasn't really an extension. It was kind of a screwy deal because they still charged you a penalty. At least they did me. I don't know how that's it's yeah. I don't like paying too much into my taxes because I don't see any reason why they should have that money instead of me until I owe it to them. I don't know why they do it, because people spend money if they have it in their pocket. That's why. Because they need to feed their kids. But I don't blame them. The problem is they go out and they buy stuff they don't need. Their kid doesn't need an Xbox. It needs food. Okay? Do that first. Put your money away and pay your taxes. And then whatever you got left, go ahead and spend that on your Xbox. After you've paid your taxes. They keep taking money out of your check, and you get this, oh, look at me, I get some money back because the government took $10,000 out of my check last year, so I get $2,000 back. Ooh, I'm so happy about that. Yeah, well, if you'd have kept that money yourself and just paid the money in instead of paid the $8,000 at the end of the year, you'd have had all that money in your bank. And then if you would have died, they'd have had a hard time coming after you for it. They would. They still will. Don't get me wrong. They'll come after you. They'll dig your grave up and come after you, pull your fillings out. I'm pretty sure they will do that. I'm not positive. Don't take my word for it. I'm not an accountant. I don't know. But I think they do that. I heard a rumor. Now, Jerry Nadler, Jerry Squishy Nadler, apparently has, he stepped in it again. Let's just put it that way. And he's trying to shuffle off. Slither back into the swamp. The swamp is alive and well, folks. Listen to what Mr. Jerry Nadler said, and I want to play this right at the onset because it's so, how do you say the word, disgusting? I guess you just say disgusting with a disgusted look on your face, and it sounds disgusting. Ooh. So this guy gets up, the fellow's name is Stubbe, I think. I'm not sure why he's in Congress. He had the boldness to get up and proclaim what God has said from the scriptures that our nation was founded on. Now, to hear him read his speech, and you need to hear Stubbe's speech, because it sounded like something in fact, I thought at the end of it he was going to say, I'm quoting from the founders. Which, of course, the leftists have nothing but disdain for. They do not, you have to get it through your head, they do not love this country. They love what they want to make this country into. But all their righteous indignation about the temple of democracy, they couldn't care less about it. Nadler has literally crapped on it. So, not intentionally, I take, poor guy. Having problems. The older I get, the more I wonder about those kind of days. Well, something, I think the fairy just walked in. Apparently there's a calendar event that just got assigned to me from someone above. Because my little thing is, this computer's way up above my head here, and it's up there. So it's not somebody from above, it's just a thing from above my head. So I've got this thing here. I'll play this little sound clip. I don't know if you can understand it well, because I think he's wearing four masks, which he needs to be wearing because he has labored breathing anyway, just getting around, And I'm pretty sure that he, the guy looks like he's the epitome of the cartoon character, like you would see in something like a cartoon character thing on, you know, the cartoon, like the newspaper cartoons of just some politician. He fits that perfectly. But I'm trying to draw a picture here for you and in the air because you can't see it because I'm on, you know, it's just, well, there's another little notice that just came through. A bunch of mail coming in. You've got mail. So I've got, get this little sound. I'm going to play this little sound clip for you. See what you think of this. If I can figure out how to push this button on my computer and hopefully it'll play. So it, here we go.
Gender.
Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Let's just read that. Let's just read that back. Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Let me just explain a little something to you here, Lucy. It is absolutely a concern of the Congress. We're not talking about making a law with respect to religion. See, this is where they've got this backwards a lot of times. Well, we have to separate church and state. Therefore, if the church wants it, the state has to go against it. That's kind of where they're going with this. Laws are based on moral absolutes that are outside of our human existence, not based on what we think are absolutes, not what we vote on to be absolutes. They are absolutes that are outside of ourselves. Murder is wrong. Child molestation is wrong. Pedophilia is wrong. There are individuals, and I'll just say it, homosexuality is wrong. And there are people out there who say, well, I was born this way. You could make that argument for just about anyone who commits grievous sin or grievous acts, criminal acts. You could say that a murderer, a serial killer, he was born that way. Well, we have to let him go. Because he was born that way. He identifies as a serial killer. So he's okay. That's just the way he was born. Yeah, how dare you? You must be murder phobic or whatever that is. Fear of a serial killer. I'm not sure what fear of a serial killer is. But I'm sure that's what they are. And you should be scorned and mocked in the public square for thinking such a person to be so evil. Pedophiles now they're arguing that now. They're arguing that they're born that way, that is their sexual preference. And they should be recognized as a protected class. That is what they are arguing, folks. Now, I grew up in the 80s when it started to become a thing that the certain sexual orientations were coming on the scene. And beginning to started to say we want to be accepted. Chuck Colson was very clear about that. He said, "Well, first they want acceptance, and then it doesn't stop there. It leads to not just acceptance, and it gets into the school as an accepted thing, and then it becomes recruitment, which is what we have in the schools today." It's not only just considered a normal thing. We have to normalize this. It now becomes a thing where they start to recruit you because they want you to feel that you need the confidence to do such things. And even children, 6 or 8 years old, according to our latest, is it the Secretary of HHS, whatever that stands for. Happy, happy stuff. She is, whatever binary thing it is. If you notice that's, and you know, you want to do whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. Doesn't affect me. If it's not illegal, whatever. I'm just talking morally here, folks. What I believe to be moral. And if you have a problem with that, hey, it's a free country. You can have a problem with that. But don't have a problem with me having a problem with that teaching, with that idea that it's morally okay. Because it's not. Now, how did I go from Nadler saying what he's saying? Because we're talking about this Equality Act thing. And here's the problem with this. They continue to find groups that have that are going to be specially protected, special rights, I call it. Not equal rights. Not, it's not an Equality Act. It is Special Rights Act. Special protections for individuals. Why should anybody be specially protected because they have a wart on their nose from someone who's not, who doesn't have a wart on their nose? We need to fight for equal rights for all, for everybody, every single individual, which is what they were sent to Congress to do, to defend the rights of the individual. The rights of every man are threatened when the rights of one man are compromised. This doesn't mean you have to believe, even if you're not a person of faith, or maybe you're a Muslim, well, you probably would agree that people shouldn't be running around. Men should not be acting like women. The science, well, we want to talk about the science of this. This science is, how many chromosomes do you have? And yeah, because they don't want to be defined by that, by what they were born with. Well, there are individuals out there, and they are serious, who believe they identify as a wolf. I can show you several clips of different people who believe they are animals. There are even people who are mutilating their bodies because this one guy thinks he's a cat. I have to say, Matt Walsh probably had the best breakdown of this whole idea. And one of the things he said in one of his little statements that he made about this whole thing is, so you think you feel like a woman. You're a man who feels like a woman. How do you know what a woman feels like? You've never been a woman. You are enamored by what you think a woman is. You are infatuated with the idea of becoming a woman or being a woman or thinking that you're a woman on the inside. You have no idea what it is to live in a woman's body. I have no idea. Going through the hormonal things that they go through, going through their brains are built differently. There is a difference between men and women. Let me just say that very clearly. And just because you feel like you can pretend like you are one, and all you have to do is get rid of your genitals to do it, or keep your genitals and pretend like you are, and or have something else, it's have your body changed somehow, take different hormones, that somehow is going to make you a woman. I got news for you. That's not what you are, okay? Sorry. Sorry you want to be one, but you're not one. And it is an unhealthy thing. I'm probably making some people mad. There's probably some listeners out there that are mad at me about this. Now, am I saying there should be a law that keeps you from doing any of those things? No, I'm not saying that. I haven't really explored that. I don't know how I feel about that. What I'm saying is I have to have the right to say it's wrong. And you should have the right to say it's right. This equality thing gives people special protections. Special rights, not equal rights. Now you have the right to call me my particular skin color. You don't know what that is unless you've seen my picture. My particular gender. You don't know what that is either. Unless you think that because I have a low voice that I'm somehow, you never know. I might just be a woman who's been smoking a long time. So, we get down to this issue of the equality thing, and all of a sudden, I am not protected. I'm a guy who just has my regular rights. I don't have special rights. I just have the constitutional rights that the Constitution gives me. I don't have these extra rights that they had decided to add on to certain people who deserve special rights that are somehow now not equal to my rights. They're more equal than I am, I guess. That's how insane and that's the lunacy we're talking about here. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. And I don't care about all the stuff that's in there and what it's going to do to the people of faith and all. It is threatening to those things. Don't get me wrong. But why is no one calling them out on the very basic fundamental principles of our Constitution, of our Republic, of what we were founded on? This flies in the face of that. And that's the only thing I have a problem with. I heard a really good fireside chat by Dennis Prager over the weekend. He sat down with four young people, and they talked a little bit. They kind of touched on this a little bit. But it was a discussion about the people's rights and the founding of the nation and all some things like that. It was, if you get a chance to look at it. I strongly encourage you to take a look at that. Because it was very well said by Dennis, and I'm not going to try to even repeat what he said because I would just butcher it anyway, like I do most things. So he did a really good job, and he was talking to these young people, and he's very good at being very polite and courteous and respectful. And the young people who he was talking to were just top shelf individuals, especially the last guy he talked to. Asked a really good question, and he's very well read, and was just. I think he was a little older. I think he was in his 20s, possibly. But he was, they were all college age, basically. Well, I think actually one was 16. One was homeschooled. One was an LDS, Mormon. Can't remember. Yeah. So it was just a really good conversation with some kids who really get it. Who have, you know, it gives you kind of some hope for the nation to see people like that kind of involved in politics and involved in understanding liberty and actually taking an active role in it. Because you can't listen to something that Nadler would say like that and not realize, and it's in this whole bill about the whole thing about special rights and equal rights and protected classes, that they did mention, that they did talk about, and the point I wanted to make about the whole thing with Prager was that they mentioned the Civil Rights Act. And there were actually individuals at the time who were, actually the guy who founded the NAACP was actually against the Civil Rights Act because of the very same things I'm talking about. And if you listen to anything that Jerry Nadler, or that, not Jerry Nadler, Larry Elder, those names aren't that close. Larry Elder talks about what happened up until the Civil Rights Movement, Civil Rights Act, and how the African American black community, whatever, the people of color, how they overcame. He makes the argument that they are overcomers. It's a very positive message. That they're people, and just in the very nature of being humans, we tend to, especially as groups, overcome. We tend to rise up, not violently, but we overcome adversity. It's the indomitable spirit of the human nature, human psyche, whatever. It's part of that. It's part of that, but just about being part of the human race. That we tend to, you know, gather, encourage each other, and rise above the adversity that we face. And a lot of that is because of the faith we have in our God. And it was what Martin Luther King Jr. He was a man of faith. He had his mistakes. He made his mistakes. He was not a perfect individual. I'm not saying he had to be. But he had some principles. And there is some struggles. Because it does do this thing where we end up with special rights that are, you know, are they fair or are they not? Is it right to give someone special protection in society? That's the tough question right there. And that's where it gets a little bit difficult, and that's what they were struggling with. And in fact, this book that this kid at the end, that this young man at the end, he said something about the book he had read and how he kind of saw a different perspective of what was going on there. And so it kind of left him a little bit conflicted on the Civil Rights Act, because he kind of saw both the good in it as well as some of the things that it could potentially be considered harmful. And that's the whole point right there. And this is, they want to lump these kinds of things now into those kinds of rights. Well, at what point does a Caucasian man, let's say a Swiss American, someone from Switzerland, who hasn't lived in Switzerland, hasn't been to Switzerland, and whose family hasn't been there for 8 generations. But I guess they'd be considered a Swiss American. Well, they're a minority, not that many of us. So what about special protections from them? They were persecuted by the Catholic Church. Should they get special protection then? If someone's family originally came here because they were kidnapped and sold into indentured servitude, much like a slave, should that person get reparations? 8 generations ago, by the way. Yeah. So that's the dilemma. It's a dilemma that we have today. And so Jerry Nadler says, Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Really? Seriously? Jerry, it's time for term limits for you. Maybe that's what the organization needs to be called. Term limits for you. TLFY. Term limits for you. I don't know what we can make out of that. But, Tulfi. It's time for Tulfi. So, you know, that's really, of course, President Trump spoke over the weekend, and I'll talk about that a little bit. He made some little remarks, little inklings about someone coming back to the presidency. It's about two times he made hints about possibly a run for 2024. Kind of interesting stuff. You know, one thing I didn't talk about last week, I should have. There was a school board that got caught by, they were talking about, you know, they're talking about people. They're, because the, they were making comments about the parents. Well, they just want to stay home and they just want us to take care of, they just want us to be their, they want their babysitters back. They just want to smoke pot all day. Stay at home, smoke pot, and let their kids go to school. They're making some really derogatory comments. And, of course, what they didn't know was that the Zoom meeting was being broadcast to the public. So, yeah, people were recording it. And, yeah, it got out there. And, yeah, they all resigned. And they should have. It was ridiculous. But that is the mentality that we have to deal with right now. We have teachers now that are loving this stay-at-home thing. And it has nothing to do with the caring for the kids. It's just about it's about them. Not about caring for the kids, I guarantee you. Now, there probably are some genuine teachers out there who think that, I know some of them have taken it very seriously. They've established their own office and workspace within their home. They're doing everything they can to stay in contact with students, and they're doing everything they could. Some of them are very genuine, but this general mentality is pervasive, especially in the larger school districts, bigger cities. I hate to say it, but yes, larger cities have a tendency to be this way, and it's a direct effect of the influence of the union. I'm not saying the union is evil. Not all unions are bad, but not everybody in the unions are bad. But this is the tendency that we have for the unions. So just to give you an idea of what's going on there. The other one, there was another one that was actually caught. And it was interesting. The group was kind of being overrun. They were kind of getting into an argument with this one particular individual, and there was a couple other individuals there too. But this one lady, she was being rude, and I think she was a teacher. And they also didn't know that I think a couple of them knew that the meeting was being broadcast to the public, and some of the people were trying to calm this lady down, basically, and try to tell her that, you know, this isn't racist. We're not being racist. We're just trying to be, you know, she was extremely woke. Let's just put it that way. And was causing some serious problems. I don't know what has happened. I'm sure nothing's happened to her because she can probably, you know, the union's going to protect her, of course. But yeah, it was interesting. You almost have to watch it to listen to it to get to really get anything out of it, because it was just so outlandishly crazy what she starts accusing people on the board of doing. And it just becomes obviously out of control. So it was, that kind of thing, I think, is, and these are the ones we know about. These are the ones that have made it. How many of these have been unknown or swept under the rug or haven't even been reported on? These kinds of meetings. Hard to tell, but I would imagine there have been a few. Quite a few, actually, probably, I would think. But I guess there's some, if you get a chance to listen to Steven Crowder, he's got his live show today. I am not listening to it. It's on right now, and I'm not able to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it later. I got on my road trip. I got to head out of town. But something's kind of interesting happening there with Lauder, with Crowder. The Nevada voter mystery. The title of his video, his live stream, is Nevada Voter Mysteries Deepen. And apparently there's some other, now he's actively going out and looking through voting records and determining whether or not, you know, he's actually doing hard evidence research, which is what most of the people who had all the accusations initially didn't have, which makes it harder because they come out and just come out with a number. Oh, yeah, 6,000 people, dead people voted. Well, that was an estimate. Nobody knew for sure how many there actually were. And, of course, now they're actually going through and looking at the records and verifying with people. Because that's what causes some of the problems and makes it more difficult is when you don't actually go out there and verify. Well, you can find out, well, somebody who said that they were dead showed up and said that they voted. Okay, so they were wrong on one account, and they were wrong on several. So there was, you know, several names they were kicking around out there, and of course there's more than one person named. I just more than one person with my name in my state, and I don't have a really common name. It's kind of weird, actually. In fact, the guy has shown up. Come to find out, he was banking at the same bank I was banking at, and then I had my boat at a marina up in another state. And he, when I left there the next year, he came in with his boat. And then he left. A couple years later, I came back with another boat. I'd gone to a different marina for a while, came back, and they got me confused with that guy when I called him on the phone. Well, yeah, we know your wife's name. How do you know my wife's name? And they just thought I was him coming back, and I was a different guy. The bank got my account screwed up with his one time. I've never met the guy, but we've crossed paths many times. Just we weren't on the path at the same time. It's weird stuff like that. So he's out there. He's out there somewhere. Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the marina. This just in from the Blaze. More and more Americans are realizing that Dr. Fauci is not their friend. Apparently, he's not getting really good poll numbers right now. And I think people are starting to realize this guy, if he will lie to you and justify it by, you know, the end justifies the means, then how do you know he's saying that? Well, how do you know what he's saying now isn't the same thing? How do you know? I mean, if he said it then and with a straight face lied to you because it was, well, because I had to, because I didn't want people to go out there and buy too many masks and gloves. We had to save those for the first responders. Okay. The frontline people. Well, how do I know that what you're telling me now isn't a lie? Maybe we've got an over surplus of masks now because people were out there making masks like crazy and you're trying to sell them all. Well, we got to get these masks out of here because we got way too many of them. So now you got to wear them until 2022. You got to wear them all the way through 2023. And you know what? Now instead of wearing one, just wear three. Did you somehow take stock maybe possibly in mask companies? And that would not surprise me, by the way, if you looked into anything in this guy's life, especially concerning coronavirus. There are some very interesting things, like patents and money that's been invested in the Wuhan laboratory. Stuff that's happened from Canada and stuff that was written about back in 2010 from the Rockefeller Association. Foundation, whatever it is. Something one of those shuns. Yeah, I'm going to end this show right now with this. We are living in a very interesting time. There are a lot of deceptions, a lot of absolutes that are being completely ignored, a lot of moral standards that are being eroded, ignored. And basically, the founding of our nation is under attack. There's no question. The leftists are not Democrats. They are not the traditional Democrats. They are absolute Marxists. And they are drunk with power. They are obsessed and infatuated with being right and showing their virtue, parading their goodness and their righteousness around. And we need to be a nation that wakes up to this and realizes that at the core of it all is the selfishness of the human being that continues to make poor decisions. And we need to walk humbly and do justly before our God. A nation cannot stand if it accepts anything less. And we are kind of the last bastion of the true beacon on a hill, city on a hill. So, I say all of that to say this. Keep the faith. You know what? I kind of come to the realization in the, some time ago, that God formed this nation, in my opinion. It was because of principles that were laid down. You know, the nation was founded on godly principles, on Judaic, Christian principles. If you want to call it that, I'll call it that for now. I would say it differently, but that's semantics. And I think that we need to constantly realize that and just have faith, keep the faith, and move forward in faith boldly, prayerfully. God is still on the throne. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. God bless.